Today I am beginning a new series of messages which is titled Taking the Stew Out of Stewardship. And much of the material for this message and actually the weeks that follow comes from a book by Rod Rogers which is titled Pastor Driven Stewardship. Now as I talk to you this morning about giving, you may be getting a little nervous. You may be thinking that I am going to ask you to give some of your money to the church. Well, I want you to know that you can relax. I'm not going to ask you to give any of your money to the church because you don't have any money. I will be talking to you, however, about giving God's money to the church because all of your money really belongs to God. Now, don't you feel better already? You see, the Bible teaches us that we are owners, or rather we are not owners, but rather we are stewards of God's given resources. Therefore, for the Christian, proper management of possessions and money grows out of an understanding of the biblical principles of financial stewardship. But what is a steward? We can define a steward as follows. A steward is someone who manages the resources of another to accomplish the goals of the owner. Let me give that to you again. A steward is someone who manages the resources of another to accomplish the goals of the owner. In the ancient world, a rich man would buy a slave and make him his steward. The steward's responsibility was to manage all the possessions and business affairs of the owner to his master's best interest. Now, the best biblical illustration of this is that of Joseph's stewardship of the house of Potiphar, as described in Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 6. And I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39 as I read this text of Scripture for you this morning. Would you pay attention as I read to you from Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 6. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. And so he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Just so far in the reading of God's Word. Would you bow to him for prayer, please? Father, we do give you thanks this morning as we come and gather together, as we look at your word, and as we consider the guiding principles of a good steward. We ask that your Spirit would help us to understand what those are, so that we might rightly apply them in our lives, so that we may honor you and glorify your name. And all of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For the next 5 weeks, the Tampa Bay Presbyterian Church family will be focusing on financial stewardship. And there are two major aspects that we are emphasizing in this area of financial stewardship. The first major aspect is a capital stewardship campaign which we are calling Forward by Faith. And I'm very excited, as I mentioned in the DVD, about what the Lord is doing here at the Tampa Bay Presbyterian Church and how he is going to change lives as a direct result of people getting involved in Forward by Faith. The desire of our church's leadership is to accomplish the mission and vision that God has given to us as a church family. You may recall about 2 years ago, we completed a mission and vision document which we called our 2020 vision. And you can read about the mission and vision of the 2020 vision document at our website at TampaBayPresbyterian.org. Our mission is summarized in the following mission statement. We say that the mission of the Tampa Bay Presbyterian Church is to bring people to Jesus Christ and membership in His church family, develop them to Christ-like maturity, equip them for their ministry in the church and life mission in the world in order to magnify God's name. Our vision is summarized in the following vision statement. We envision a church where God is glorified in every area of our church. We will strive to do everything with excellence in order to bring glory to God. We envision a church that has a God-sized vision that will take God-glorifying faith and God-glorifying obedience to accomplish that vision. We want to attempt something so great for God that it is doomed to failure unless God be in it. We envision a church that is true to the Scriptures, faithful to the Reformed faith, and obedient to the Great Commission. We envision a church that has a great commitment to the great commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, as well as a great commitment to the Great Commission, which is to go and make disciples of all nations. We envision a church that is healthy and that is committed to developing healthy relationships with God and with one another. Our church will be a place where the hurting, the depressed, the disappointed, the lonely, the confused, the guilty, and the sinful find forgiveness, love, acceptance, health, hope, guidance, encouragement, support, and salvation alone in Jesus Christ. We envision a church where every person in the New Tampa area has an opportunity to hear the good news of the gospel of God's grace. We envision a church where hundreds of people gather each week to worship the triune God in a manner that is biblical, historical, and contemporary, and where the Word of God is preached week by week, systematically and expositionally. We envision a church that welcomes hundreds of members into the fellowship of our church family, and where we are loving, learning, laughing, and living in harmony with one another. We envision a church that develops believers to spiritual maturity through preaching, Bible studies, seminars, retreats, conferences, and a planned discipleship process. We envision a church that equips every believer for ministry by helping them to find a place of significant service in God's kingdom. We envision a church that empowers every believer to know his or her life mission in God's kingdom. We envision a church that trains scores of believers for leadership in God's kingdom. We envision a church that sends out scores of believers on short-term and career missions projects. We envision a church that will plant 5 daughter churches by the year 2020 and then 1 daughter church every other year after that. We envision a church that has a pre-kindergarten through middle school that is classical and covenantal. We envision a church that has outstanding facilities that meet our entire ministry needs. These facilities will include a sanctuary that will seat at least 600 persons, numbers of various sized classrooms, a multi-purpose fellowship hall and gymnasium, a playground, adequate parking, and so on. And although much has already been done to accomplish the mission and vision that God has given to us, much more has yet to be done. And it is going to require additional financial resources. Now, the session has approved a campaign target of $575,000 to be given over a period of 3 years, which is 156 weeks. And this $575,000 is in addition to our regular general fund or operational fund. In other words, we hope to take in about $192,000 a year in addition to what we are already taking in. And we have three very specific goals for Forward by Faith in order to continue to bring our mission and vision to a reality. First, we want to retire our current mortgage early. We owe approximately $360,000 on our mortgage, and when we started this process, we wanted to actually add additional facilities, but we quickly realized that if we did that, we would be taking on far more debt than we could have at this time. And so we said, let's just get rid of the mortgage, retire that mortgage early. And once we retire that mortgage early, then we'll be in a position, a better position, to add more facilities. Our second goal is that we want to significantly refurbish our property and facilities, the grounds and the facilities. And while we're not in a position to add any new buildings at this time, we can give our current property a new and fresh look that will be appealing to visitors and also enhance our present and current ministry. And third, we want to add pastoral staff. Right now, we are staffed for maintenance. And if we are going to grow, if we are going to equip our church members for effective ministry in the kingdom in order to reach the community with the gospel, we need to add pastoral staff. Well, that's the first major aspect, which has to do with the capital stewardship campaign. The second major emphasis of our financial stewardship is going to be a focus on personal financial stewardship. Part of that is accomplished through the Sunday school class. And I want to encourage every one of you to come to that Sunday school class next week and the following week, where we will hear how we can grow in this particular area. According to Howard Dayton, the CEO of Crown Financial Ministries, the savings rate in America is at the lowest level in 60 years, and personal consumer debt continues to rise dramatically, far exceeding increases in income. Furthermore, Dayton adds that 1 million households declare bankruptcy every year. More people now go into bankruptcy each year than graduate from our colleges and universities. 15 years ago, one out of every 300 households declared bankruptcy. In 2001, just 5 years ago, that number was down to one in every 69 households. And if that trend continues in 3 years, in the year 2010, one out of every 7 households will declare bankruptcy. And due to the fact that a growing number of people are struggling financially, the result is that more and more churches are struggling financially too. Howard Dayton notes that tithing has decreased almost every year for the past 3 decades, so that the average Christian household today gives 2.5% to the work of the Lord and an additional 1.7% to other charitable organizations. The capital stewardship consultants with whom we met at the start of the summer, each one of them said that if Christians and churches were giving 10% to the work of the Lord, there would be no need for capital stewardship consultants. Now, we presently here at the Tampa Bay Presbyterian Church have about 85 active resident family units in our church family. That might be a family with mom and dad and some children. It might be a single person. So we have 85 units here at our church. The median annual household income for 2006 in this particular area was $75,793. The average annual household income actually is higher. It's $92,125. If we just take 10% of the median annual household income, that is $7,579, and multiply that by 85 family units. We realize some make less money, some make more money, but you realize that there's something of an average there. Our annual income for the church should be about $644,000$644,215. That is more, far more than we need to finance the mission of the Tampa Bay Presbyterian Church. Now my goal in the next few weeks is to help our church family grow in this particular area of financial stewardship. Now there may be some who are objecting that we ought not to speak so much about money. And we hear this all the time. It's not the job of the pastor, it's not the job of the church to talk about money. But let me remind you that in the Bible there are 2,350 verses that talk about our money, our assets, and our resources. In fact, the Bible talks more about money. There's only one topic that talks more about money in the entire Bible, and that's the topic of love. And so God is very concerned about how we manage our money, our finances, our assets, and resources. And so our focus for the next 5 weeks is going to be on financial stewardship. And my prayer is that we will all learn how to manage God's financial resources in a way that honors Him and advances His kingdom. Now as we consider the guiding principles of a good steward this morning, I want you to notice three financial stewardship realities. And we'll be very quick about this this morning. First, God owns all your money. Second, God enables you to earn all your money. And third, you have a responsibility to manage God's money to accomplish His resources. Well, with that as an outline, let me look at the first point. First, God owns all your money. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt as a result of his jealous brothers who had sold him to some traveling Ishmaelites. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, in fact the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. And Potiphar then put Joseph in charge of his entire household. And Genesis chapter 39 verse 4 says that Potiphar entrusted to Joseph's care everything he owned. And in the same way that Potiphar owned everything and entrusted to Joseph's care everything he owned, in that same way, God owns everything, and He entrusts to your care and my care all that belongs to Him. King David wrote in Psalm 24, verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it." In other words, God owns everything. Everything in this world belongs to God. That means the checks in your checkbook may have your name on them, but your checkbook belongs to God. Your car title may have your name on it, but your car belongs to God. Your house title may have your name on it, but your house belongs to God. Your bank account may have your name on it, but your bank account belongs to God. Your Sears or Visa credit card may have your name on it, but they belong to God. Everything that you have belongs to God, because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. When Lauren and John were about 6 years old, they started receiving a weekly allowance of $1 per week. And when I gave them the money, I wanted to teach them some basic financial principles. And the first foundational principle I wanted Lauren and John to learn was that God owns all things. So rather than giving them a dollar bill, I would get 10 dimes. And I would put 10 dimes on the table, and I would say to them, how many of these dimes belong to God? And at first they would say, one dime, because they had heard about tithing. They'd say, one dime belongs to God. And I would say, no, all 10 dimes belong to God. Now, how many dimes do you give to God's church? You give one dime out of the 10 to God's church. And at that very early age, I wanted Lauren and John to learn and understand that God owns all of their money. And that was a principle that I wanted to instill in them at an early age. And whether you are 6 or 96 years old, you need to understand that God owns all of your money, all of your possessions, all of your resources belong to God. The second principle I want you to understand this morning is that God enables you to earn all your money. In the story of Joseph, we read that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Any success that Joseph enjoyed and any success that we might enjoy is because God enables that. When some Christians hear biblical teaching on giving, they sit back and fold their arms and they say, well, I work hard for my money. I have earned it. My strength and my labors, I have produced this and therefore I can spend it in any way I want. But the scriptures teach otherwise. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, Moses warns God's people with these words. He said, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. That's a fabulous passage. The ability to produce wealth comes from the Lord. Years later, after King David and the people had given generously toward the building of the temple. By the way, it's an Old Testament capital stewardship campaign. They raised the funds and after they had given, and he was praying a prayer of dedication. David praised the Lord in the presence of the entire assembly, and he said this. He's talking to God, and he said, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. The Bible is very clear that it is God who enables each one of us to earn what we are able to earn. The scriptures teach that there is no such thing as a self-made man or woman. Your ability to make a living is a direct gift from God. And everything you own, home, car, jewelry, computers, DVDs, iPods, whatever it is, comes to you from God. You would not have anything if God had not enabled you to acquire it. And then third, you have a responsibility to manage God's money to accomplish His purposes. Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his household to accomplish his own purposes. The text says in Genesis 39, Potiphar put him in charge of his household and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Now there are three important points related to this stewardship reality. The first is this. Owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. If I borrow your car, I don't have the right to take it onto the beach and go and do some wheelies and do all kinds of crazy stunts on the beach. Why not? Because I'm a steward and not the owner of your car. I have a responsibility to take care of your car in the way that you, the owner, wish. When I was a student at the University of Cape Town, a colleague traveled overseas for about 6 weeks and he asked me to house sit for him, which I did. And as a house sitter, I was a steward of someone else's property. I did not have the right to change the paint colors in the bedroom because I didn't like the color that of the room I was sleeping in. I didn't have the rights to go and tear out a wall and rearrange the wall that in his living room to make it a bigger living room because I would enjoy that better. I didn't have the right to go and put a hot tub in his patio so that I could enjoy something for myself. Why? Well, I was simply a steward of someone else's home. And similarly, you and I are not owners, but are merely stewards of God's resources and possessions and money. We don't have a right to spend money in any way that we want. Rather, we have a responsibility to spend it in the way that God wants us to spend it. Second, every spending decision is a spiritual decision. When you are considering buying, for example, a new couch, you're involved in making a spiritual decision. Why? You say, how is buying a couch or perhaps buying a stick of gum or a book or a car, how is that a spiritual decision? I mean, that shouldn't be spiritual. The reason it's a spiritual decision is because it is God's money and you are spending money that God has entrusted to you. And it is just as spiritual a decision as determining how long you should pray, how you should spend the Lord's day, and when and how to witness to someone else. Because you are a steward of the Lord's possessions, and you are seeking to use them in a way that honors Him. And third, the primary requirement for a steward is faithfulness. Now, I know that the Bible teaches that God neither slumbers nor sleeps in Psalm 121 verse 4. But suppose for a moment, for the purpose of my question, that if God did sleep, could He sleep soundly knowing that you are in charge of His money? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2, Paul says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." As stewards of God's money and possessions, our primary responsibility is to manage those possessions and money and resources faithfully. Joseph was such a faithful steward of his master's possessions that with Joseph in charge, Potiphar slept soundly at night. The text says, "So he left in Joseph's care everything he had." With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. So if God slept, which He doesn't, of course, but if God slept, could He sleep soundly knowing that you are in charge of His money? As the true owner, God will hold you accountable for the way in which you have managed His money. When you really accept the truth that you are simply a steward of the possessions of a loving and generous God, you will want to manage those resources faithfully. And when you go to a doctor for a checkup, he or she will begin to poke and to prod and press in various places in your body, and all the while asking, "Does this hurt? How about this?" And if you cry out in pain, one of two things has happened. Either the doctor has pushed too hard without the right sensitivity, or more likely, there's something wrong, and the doctor will say, "We'd better run some more tests. It's not supposed to hurt here." And so it is when pastors preach on financial responsibility, and certain members in the congregation cry out in discomfort, and they criticize either the message or the messenger. Perhaps the pastor has pushed too hard without the appropriate sensitivity, or perhaps something else is wrong. And in that case, I say, "My friend, we're in need here of the great physician because it's not supposed to hurt here." My prayer for you is that you will understand and commit to the truth that God owns all your money. God enables you to earn all your money. And you have a responsibility to manage God's resources in a way to accomplish His purposes. Let's pray. Our Father, We thank you for the opportunity to consider the guiding principles of a good steward. We want to be good stewards of all that you have entrusted to us. Help each one of us here today to understand and to commit to the truth that you own all our money. You enable us to earn all the money we have been entrusted. And we have a responsibility to manage your money to accomplish your purposes. And I pray that as a result of that commitment, you will be glorified and your church will be strengthened. And all of this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.